Another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropagold.com, Michael Lewis, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons, Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. We appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us here on this Monday evening. It might be cold, it might be icy, it might be warm wherever you are, but we're glad you're with us tonight. We'll have a lot of local news and U.S. and international soccer news tonight, information, commentary. Be sure to stay tuned. It should be a great show. Our U.S. soccer correspondent, Michael Lewis, is in California covering all the events going on there with the U.S. men's and women's national teams and their early January camps. The MLS and NWSL drafts, all the awards ceremonies took place over the weekend. He'll be on live tonight from California to give us all the latest scoops. Dick Howard will also be with us to talk about the now official expansion of the World Cup to 48 teams in 2026. Also the end of a record unbeaten streak that took place over the weekend and all the rumors in the January transfer window, including a huge star from my favorite team, Chelsea. Looks like he might be leaving the team. We'll talk about all that tonight. And we have some great news to start the show in just a moment about a local gentleman who was received the highest honor possible from the U.S. Soccer Coaches Association over the weekend. Let's bring in Joe Sirianni, our host. And Joe, you're on black. Is that because of Juventus or what?
My heart is broken. But, what are you going to do? The game of soccer is unpredictable. You win some, you lose some, and you got to be as happy when you win, and you got to be as sport when you lose as well. But I didn't think Juventus played very well yesterday. I thought that Fiorentina was completely dominant, and they deserved to win. And Juventus made so many mistakes. Fiorentina attacked the ball. Every time a Juventus player had the ball, he had two, three players. It forced them to make mistakes, and that's what happened.
That's right. So,
and the goal, they lost one nothing, So,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Well, I know what you're going to do. Look at that new logo they put out today. I don't know what they were thinking. I think it's terrible to get rid of the zebra. That's been their symbol for decades,
yeah.
Almost 100 years. And they came up with a brand new futuristic logo today, and I think a lot of people are going to say, what the heck are they dealing with?
That's just a JJ.
You can check it out. If you just Google Juventus, you'll probably find it.
It's a JU, actually,
right?
Because it's not connected.
Very strange. Yeah. But anyway, let's begin the show with some happy news. And gentleman who actually coached your nephew at Spencerport High School, a gentleman who coached soccer for over 40 years, also was a member of the Brockport State National Champions from 1955, going all the way back to that era. Ron Broadbent was named the NSCAA Honor Award recipient for 2016. It is an annual award given. It's the highest honor given by the coaches of soccer in the United States, and we're very, very proud that Ron received this award. He's a native of Brockport, coaches Spencerport for 22 years, and won 49 games in a row at one point, 7 Section 5 titles and a state championship, and was the NHSACA Coach of the Year in 1980. He also coached at SUNY Brockport, but he worked with the National Coaches Association for many years. The governing body helped to bring about the addition of many more high school coaches into the program, and we're very proud of him. We're hopefully going to try to get him on our show next week to talk about this great honor. It's a singular honor that they only give out once a year. So there's only been 77 of them. That's how long they've been around.
One of the things that it's worth mentioning is that the Brockport soccer program is one of the best in the United States. Not only then, but even now, they have one of the best soccer program, you know, that and we know that the coaches, La Pietra, is doing a good job over there. So he went unbeaten for, I don't remember, like 20 games. So the program at Brockport, it's a credit to Ron, because he been instrumental in keeping their program, establish their program, and keeping them, you know, in generation the way it is right now.
Right. And Spencerport, of course, back in that era where they were the best soccer team in Section 5. Yeah. Because, of course, helpful that they didn't have a football program, so all their athletes played soccer, and they were wrestlers, too. My three nephews were wrestlers at Spencerport.
Exactly.
But he was just unbelievable coach, and we're very proud. Again, a native of Brockport, so right in our area, and it's an honor to know that he was honored by his peers in the National Soccer Coaches Association of America. So, again, congratulations to Ron Broadbent. We'll hopefully, again, have him on next week's show to talk about this great honor and talk a little bit about some of the history of soccer. Certainly it's been changed a lot since 1955 when he played and won a national title. And one of the big changes, Joe, as you know, was the advent of women's soccer. And last week we didn't have a chance to talk much about our feelings about the Western New York Flash moving to Carolina.
We'll be talking short about it.
But now we can.
Yeah, but there is another event. I mean, the ball, the actual ball, you know, that they play soccer with, they completely changed.
Absolutely. It was a leather ball at one time, extremely
my
heavy.
My God. And the shoes, everything's really changed and modernized. So when you look how soccer has really progressed, it's amazing the changes that have been made to make the game faster, to make the athletes better. And you know, that's a plus. You know, when you look at it, the advance that we had, that we can really say that soccer has been progressive all around.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, one of the big things that made it progressive is it's the introduction of women's soccer, and it's become... it's getting bigger and bigger in the world game, and you're seeing that with the U.S. national team players moving overseas to play in the European leagues, which would be unheard of a few years ago. And now they're starting to do that with Crystal Dunn going to Chelsea and Alex Morgan going to Olympic Lyonnais. And so, but unfortunately, Joe, we're not going to have women's soccer in Rochester.
Well, let's just talk about a little bit, you know, talk about the why and the reason why we don't have soccer anymore. I mean, nobody's really said anything about it yet, but you and I have been following the game for a long, long time. We know some of the things that we think that we know. We have a lot of assumption, and I just, before I say what I'm going to say, just what I want to say are assumption facts, but it's just what I see and what I heard.
This is an opinion. So
that's an opinion.
Take it. This is not not factual, but it's not.
No, but
it's an opinion of what Joe thinks.
Right.
We did ask again if anybody from the former Flash organization would join us on the show. They still could not do so. Maybe next week we'll have somebody on.
The way I see it, Andrew, is this. We have had, much like the Lancer of the past, okay, we have had the best players in the world. We have had the best players in the world in Rochester is the Western New York Flash. Okay, they won 4 championships. They did so many good things and so many good players. We had Marta. We had all these players that are known throughout the world to be the best players playing in Rochester. And to think that Rochesterian have not supported this team, it makes me sick to my stomach. Okay, but on the other hand, you know, I don't think that the Flash organization really promoted themselves really well in Rochester. You know, they didn't market themselves that good. They didn't do anything that was to be done. And I go back a little bit more just to be You know, when Sacre Sem was involved with them, and, you know, Sacre Sem is a promoter, okay? He was involved with the Rhinos, and then he got involved with the Flesh, and he is a promoter. And he worked with them a little bit. Now, I don't know why, you know, he was not allowed to do all the things that he's capable of doing, but was it a question of money? Was it a question of involvement? Was it a question that, they really wanted to do, you know, they didn't let him do what he wanted to do? Or there was a question of,
I don't think it's any of those. I'll give you an answer to that one, Joe. It's the league. The league and U.S. Soccer did not want to have things that Sam wanted to do. They want to have more of a traditional soccer atmosphere without the music and without the crazy antics and all of that. And that's why, you know, it's similar to, you know, a lot of things that go on in many sports now, that they're trying to take the fun out of it. And, you know, I'm a purist. I understand, you know, that you want to have, in soccer especially, you want to have the fans singing. You want to have an atmosphere you see around the world. But you can certainly have things at halftime. You could have promotional events outside of the games themselves. But unfortunately, during the games, that's been handed down by U.S. Soccer that there's going to be no music and none of that. And then, like I said, that's a big point of disagreement.
One other thing that I fault somebody for not doing that is promoting the game with the young woman.
Yep.
Promoted the game at the high school level. Promoted the game at the college level. And if you look at all the young girls right now that are involved in soccer, that are on the traveling team, that are on the school team, in my own family, you know, we have two girls that play soccer for Athena. And they are very good. They were on the traveling team. They were, you know, they went to every Flesh game. They stood in line to get autograph from the players. You remember all the people lined up at the end over there to get autograph when the Flesh were here and they were doing the things that they were supposed to do. They stood around and they signed autograph. Ebby Wambach. All the other players.
And the visiting team players. Yeah, I still remember when Hope Solo came here with the Seattle Reign, and there were literally girls in tears because they were goalies, and Hope Solo was their hero, and they were actually there talking to Hope Solo. You can imagine what's going through their minds. And I totally agree, Joe, and that this is, again, where I differ with Sam, is that you have to go after your base customers. And you can't just assume they're going to show up at matches. You have to go out and make sure they show up. They're your best customers. The Flash's best customers are exactly who said. Those teenage girls, ages, you know, 8 to 21, who play the game, and these are their heroes. They're the best players in the world, but there was never an effort to bring them in groups out to the stadium. Plus, of course, there's the myth and the urban legend about the safety of the location, which is a big factor still, after 10 years.
And that brings another factor, too. The city of Rochester, shame on them.
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
Shame on the city of Rochester, because they have not embraced...
And we have a female mayor.
Yeah, but I don't know about the female mayor. They have not embraced and they have done nothing to save the Flesh from moving out of Rochester. Look what happened when they moved over there. The governor of North Carolina was there. All the other dignitaries, all the politicians, all of them, because they understood what they were inherited. Last week when we had the owner of the border team, he said he was so eloquent in describing the fact that they bought something that is going to be great for the state and for the city. So shame on the city of Rochester, shame on the darn politician that they do nothing to promote soccer, outside of the fact that they support a couple other team every year, you know, I don't know how they do it, but they don't support the Rhino, and they didn't support the Flesh, and they didn't support the original Lancer either. So,
or the new Lancers.
Or the new Lancers, for they think. Okay, so what is the matter with this city?
Well,
what is the matter with the city?
Well, again, It's called quality of life, and they talk about wanting to spend $5 million to give to people to buy houses. Well, you know what? Where are they going to shop? What are they going to do? This is the thing. Politicians are not as smart as they think they are, Joe, and I think you understand that. Those kids are going to get money from Governor Cuomo or whoever to buy a house in Rochester. They'll buy a house, in 2 years they'll sell it and then move and make a lot of money, because that's how smart they are. They're smarter than the politicians. If you don't have things in Rochester for quality of life, like the women's soccer, the Western New York Flash, who bring the best players in the world to our city, then, you know, why stay? But that's, again, we can talk about this all night. We have some things to get to. I was trying to bring up one more thing. I want to wish a very happy birthday to former Rhinos captain Tony Walls. And for those of you wondering what Tony's doing right now, he is trying to be a member of the U.S. Beach Soccer National Team. He's down training. The Beach World Cup is going to be held in the North America or in the Caribbean this time around. So he's trying a new thing. Has it gotten away from indoor soccer and outdoor soccer? Now moving on to beach soccer.
And beach soccer is a tough sport.
Very tough.
Because you run in the sand, and you know it's very difficult to run in the sand.
You have to be very specialized to play the sport. Only Junior, the great Brazilian player, was able to play outdoor and play on the Brazilian beach soccer team. But we'll wish Tony the best of luck in his new quest and his new soccer quest that he wants to become a part of the U.S. national team of beach soccer. So let's take our first break here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll be joined by Mr. Zero, Dick Howard. We'll talk about the World Cup expanding to 48 teams, plus, again, a big streak ended in soccer over the weekend. We'll talk about that next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, LA, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Cooch, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore!
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality, and the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame, and a 2013 inductee into the Rochester Lancers Hall of Fame, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
Our international report with Dick Howard brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, located at 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, right off the 390 Expressway. You can visit the interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or give the office a call at 328-3382 if you want to make an appointment for a consultation to get your teeth clean. Or if you have any other trouble with your teeth or gums, definitely give Dr. Olivo and his practice a call. Joe and I both go to Dr. Olivo, and he's a excellent dentist, one of the best in town, if not the best. And, of course, he is a great supporter of soccer, youth soccer, and of our show. So, again, thanks to Dr. Olivo for being our title sponsor this year. And, Dick, boy, a lot of international news going on, but top of the list, we talked about it a bit last week, and it actually happened, the World Cup expanding to 48 teams in 2026.
Big mistake.
I don't agree. I think it's
no, I'm afraid, and I mentioned this, I think, last week. I feel that the current structure is perfectly good. That to have 48 teams, and the proposed schedule, I think, is for 16 groups of three teams in a group.
Yep, that's right.
Which would mean probably there will be a European team in every group. You play two games, and after two games, you could be out. Now, even the top teams have their bad moments. Just think, you know, if Germany or Italy or an England play two poor games, they're out of their group, they don't continue on to the final 32. So I think there'll be lots of overtime, lots of penalty kicks and lots of upsets. And to my mind, I want to see in a World Cup final, and especially in the knockout stages, the best teams in the world. And I think this structure with 48 teams won't allow for that.
Well, it's interesting. I think if you look at what happened in Euro 2016, you had the expanded format to 24 teams. We had a 16-team knockout round. And you had, you know, teams like Albania and Iceland who made it, and it was tremendous for their countries. And I think the world got to see, especially Iceland. I mean, the world got behind this tiny country. They beat England, and they did commendably against France, even though they got buried. But anyway, the point, I think it's not just that. It's increasing the number of teams outside of Europe. I think that Gianni Infantino wants to open the World Cup up to more teams from Africa, from Asia, mm-hmm. from CONCACAF.
And that will be the case. You know, I even looked at eight groups of five, you know, 40 teams, but 48 teams, in my mind, is far too unwieldy. There'll be, 80 games. The president is saying that it will occupy the same number of days, but there's just something about it. I feel it will water it down too much. It's done for political reasons, obviously, and as well as profitable
for
reasons.
Money.
Because
for money, yeah.
The money
for
that
money.
Is generated by a World Cup finals is quite astronomical.
Sorry, they'll be playing four games a day, Joe, how they're going to do it. They would keep the same number of days, but instead of playing three games a day, they'll play four games in a day.
I don't think there'll be any off days.
Right.
But anyway, we shall see, you know, what develops. There's still a long time to go. And then, of course, you've got to have who is the country or countries that will be hosting it in 2026. And that's where I think we're obviously excited, because we feel that possibly there's a case here for Canada being involved and Mexico in a tournament that would have the majority of the venues in the US of A.
I think that's probably going to happen, and I think that would be, again, great. It would be great for the sport, because they have countries coming in that where you have expats from practically every country in the world living in the United States. You'll have even the small countries from Africa or Asia that could make it, or CONCACAF especially. you'll have support for all those countries, and every game will be sold out in a tournament like this. The other thing they talked about, Dick, is that they want to eliminate ties completely and have shootouts and penalty kick shootouts.
The way we used to do it before?
That will stay in the scrap heap of soccer forever, the old NESL shootout. Please.
No shootouts. No, it will be penalty kicks, and I personally feel you want 11 players deciding it, a full team, rather than it being a 1v1 confrontation.
Well, I think what they would do is probably have some kind of bonus point, like they do in hockey. They have if in the league you play to a tie, each team gets a point, and then you get a bonus point if you win in the shootout. So something.
Yeah, but just think of the drama in some of the games. If you've got one of the big countries in this situation against a smaller country, whether it be African, Asian, or from CONCACAF, and losing out on that,
every game is going to count. That's for sure.
It's going to be that case, but I think there'll be many upsets, and it's just the thought of it. Anyway, I'm very much old school at the moment.
I'm in your corner, Dick, and I think really that when you look,
I think Andrew's for 48. I can sense that. That's for sure.
I am. I think the other thing I think of is that they're trying to emulate, I think maybe in some way, the. I don't know if Gianni Infantino's a fan of the NCAA basketball tournament, but having that one game and you're out where all that pressure is on both teams to advance, so you can't, take a chance and sit back. I mean, I think that's going to be something that I think that they want. They want to have more knockout phase games than group phase, and trying to phase out maybe the group phase in favor of a knockout situation. So it's going to happen, and we're going to see it in 9 years. But it's going to, I'm sure they got a lot they have to work out, especially negotiating how many spots each confederation is going to get. So I think it's going to be there's going to be certainly some fights over that, but. Dick, the other big news over the weekend, the big streak, Real Madrid, 40 matches unbeaten, finally came to an end. And you got to give Sevilla a lot of credit, scoring 2 goals in the last 5 minutes to turn the game around after Cristiano Ronaldo.
Great game, Remy. I saw both games.
Penalty.
Just fantastic. The 3-3 tie, and then the game today with the late goal by Jovetic, who's, Stefan Jovetic, Real Madrid will know him well now with a goal in each of those games. But just tremendous games, great excitement, late goals, lots of drama. It was good football to watch on the telly.
Absolutely. And Cristiano Ronaldo set a record, most penalty kicks scored in La Liga history, beating out the former Mexican international Hugo Sanchez's record.
So great penalty kick as well.
Certainly.
Unstoppable.
We talked earlier about Juventus losing to Fiorentina.
I didn't see that game, so I would rely on my combatte, Joe Siriani, to give a summation of that. I didn't see the game or the result.
Fiorentina played a tremendous game. They deserved to win. The post-game thing that I heard, that I read, it's not complimentary to themselves. All the players, they take the blame. They took the game not serious, and they lost 4 games to one to Inter, one to Milan, one to Fiorentina, and one to Genoa. And right now, Roma is just one
point behind, but the Juve has a game in hand.
Juve has a game. You never know. Everybody that plays Juventus, they play the games their life. Fiorentina did the same thing. Those players, they wanted to win.
That's what you do when you play the big teams, just like Manchester City and Everton. Boy, Dick, what a result for the Toffees. 4-0. You would never have expected that, I don't think.
I would never have thunk it, Andrew. It was just amazing. That second-half performance and the performance of the two teenagers, Tom Davis, a fabulous individual run, to score the goal. And then what a debut for Lechman coming on. And scoring a goal after, I think he came on in 3 or 4 minutes to go in the game. But Tom Davis was superb because I think he assisted with 2 of the goals. He headed off the line just before half time, and he was certainly the man of the match. And he looked as though he could be turning out for a collegiate team, doesn't he? He's got his socks halfway down his legs, blonde hair. It's a great storyline and a great result for Everton. I never expected that, that's for sure. But. Pep Guardiola, his worst defeat, I believe, as a coach of a major team. So
pressure's on him. And
it was a shocker, but the Man U Liverpool game, I thought, was a tremendous game, great tactical battle, and at the end of the day, probably a fair result.
Even though the goal was offsides, according to replays, it was not Ibrahimovic wasn't offsides, but it was the original cross in.
That was a beautiful goal he scored. Yeah.
It's a beautiful goal. And I was telling Joe, I was saying, probably one of the few times I will ever root for Manchester United in anything was that match.
Is that right? Okay, I'll hold on that, Andrew.
Because Liverpool obviously
is 7-point lead at the moment, Chelsea in the Premier League.
They're 7 points up right now. Doing very well. Of course, there's the big question about Diego Costa and what's going to happen with him. According to reports, it's not that he's unhappy at Chelsea. He's unhappy playing in England. He wants to get out of England. He feels like he's not getting...
He just wants the £30 million, right, to play in China.
I don't think he's going to go to China. I think he will go back into the continent and play again.
You know how many people going to go? You know how many players going to go to China, because they pay big money.
Thankfully, they've got this limit now. It's only 3 non-Chinese players per team, which is great to sort of provide some control. Because otherwise, you'll have all kinds of money being spent on a team that does not have 1 or 2 Chinese players on it, and they want to develop the game, and that's the only way to do is to have these limitations.
Right, I think that's this Chinese buying spree, I think, is going to be stopping pretty soon.
When they get all the money, that's what I wonder.
It's called capitalism, Joe.
They're looking for
lots of money in China,
Joe. So maybe
trade deals.
I should go over there. My God.
Yeah, you wouldn't like the food. They have pasta, but they don't have sauce.
I can get accustomed to it. I make my own stuff.
He'd open up his own restaurant there as well.
The big soccer events going on overseas as well. The African Cup of Nations is underway in Gabon, which is in southwest Africa, and certainly some great matches so far, and we'll be seeing them throughout the month.
Great matches, and some better results. You know, you got the debutants, a team that's known as the Wild Dogs of Guinea-Bissau, you know, tied
Wild
the host
dogs,
country,
huh?
1-1, which is tremendous. You know, and there's been several other upsets. The big one, of course, today, and I didn't expect it, with the Democratic Republic of Congo beating Morocco 1-0. You know, that was a real shocker. But Cameroon still upset. They've had problems getting the players into training camp, and there's not a good atmosphere there. The only team that's performed to potential at the moment is Senegal. They had a good result opening up. It's going to be a very closely contested tournament, and obviously a lot of players who play in the Premier League will be performing for their countries.
beIN Sport is broadcasting the tournament. You can see the matches. They usually run 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., so if you want to see some great international soccer, that's the place to see it, the African Cup of Nations. You mentioned a bit about the transfer window. Diego Costa, obviously, the big name. The other big name is Payet from West Ham, the great French international. He wants out, and I can't blame him, considering what West Ham is doing these days. There's always rumors, Dick, what's going to happen. There's rumors potentially of 4 players maybe coming into the Premiership that we wouldn't expect. Iniesta, they're talking about maybe coming in to play for Arsenal or Chelsea, which would be a big surprise.
I think that the key signing is going to be for the clubs that are battling it out of the bottom. I think you're going to see a lot of activity there with the team. You know, the Swansea, Sunderland, Hull, Crystal Palace are all at the bottom, and with 3 going down, it's going to be a real battle. And especially a team like Sunderland, who've lost 3 players for the Africa Cup of Nations, it's tough when you've got that kind of situation.
Certainly.
Hey, Dick, just on another note, I like your opinion about the women game, the national, you know, the Canadian national team, of course, but also to the move that the Western New York Flash left Rochester and going to North Carolina. What do you think about, you know, it went wrong with Rochester? I know that you pretty well have an idea. What do you think about it?
Yeah, it is tough. The one thing I'd love to see, and it hopefully just takes one team to do it, is for Major League Soccer to recognize the women's game, and for every MLS team to have a women's team. You see it in England, you know, Manchester City, Arsenal, all the top teams, Paris Saint-Germain have a women's team, Bayern Munich. Olympique Lyon. And I'd like to see the same situation here in North America, because there's so many talented young women coming out of college and university, and they need an environment to play in and a competitive environment. And I think the injection of funds from a Major League Soccer team to a women's team would be perfect. And you look at all the teams in the women's league, and most of them are close to or in the city which has an MLS franchise. The only exception, of course, would be the Western New York Flash and their new team in North Carolina, is it?
That's right.
North Carolina, yeah, but they have aspirations.
I'd love to see that happening. And, certainly for the three Canadian teams, if you could have a women's team with the Whitecaps, with the Montreal Impact and TFC, I think it would be great for the game. At the moment, of course, we've lost our two top players to European clubs, Ashley Lawrence, and, that's going to be felt with the national team program. If you've got players who are playing all in North America, or the majority of them, it makes it a lot easier for getting teams together.
You mentioned Canadians. There are three Canadian internationals who retired over the weekend: Rianne Wilkinson, Melissa Tancredi, and Marie Avenal, who all will be honored on February 4th for their contributions to the Canadian national team. Of course, we saw them play right here in Rochester against the Western New York Flash. So, again, some changing of the guard, Dick.
Three young women who've done exceptionally well for the national team, and there's a game in Vancouver on the February 4th against Mexico, which they will be participating in. So it'll be great for them to be recognized. They've been tremendous contributors to the national team program over the years, and sorry to see them leave, but with younger players coming into the program, it's just the evolution of the game.
That's right. And by the way, Dick, I completely agree with you that the women's league eventually needs to hook up with Major League Soccer, because Major League Soccer is the only entity in the United States for soccer that's ever made money. And three of the teams are affiliated: Portland Thorns, Houston Dash, and Orlando Pride are all affiliated with the MLS teams. I think that's going to be the way to go. And we're going to talk in our next segment with Michael Lewis about Crystal Dunn, who's gone over to Chelsea. He wrote a big article about her in the Newsday in Long Island. That's where she's from. And she talks about how it's a completely different environment in Europe playing for a club like Chelsea, who have the facilities and the way they go about
and the
treating
money.
Their players.
And the money.
Well, the MLS teams have money, too. So hopefully it'll happen. But, Dick, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for being on the show with us, as always. And we will talk again on next Monday's show.
Okay, guys. Ciao, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, ciao, ciao.
Thanks, Dick. Dick Howard, live from Toronto, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. You can hear Dick on our show every Monday night talking about international soccer and what's going on in Canada. We're coming back. We'll be joined by Michael Lewis. He's in Los Angeles, California, for all the big events happening with U.S. soccer, men's and women's national team, the drafts. We'll talk about that with him next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Local sports leader. You're listening to AM 1040 WYSL Avon Rochester, FM 92.1, W221 CL Rochester, and WYSL1040.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
St. Padre Pio Chapel, located at 141 Frank Domino Way in Gates, is a great place to visit for thought and reflection. The chapel is open daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you can have a tour of the chapel on request. To arrange for a tour, please call Pia Pelosi at 621-6703.
Caring caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's A Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Cooja Cooj, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's!
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all their fans for supporting them during 2016 at Rochester Rhinos Stadium and for the last 21 years. Season ticket and Flex 10 packages for the 2017 Rochester Rhinos are now on sale. You can also take advantage of early bird pricing for the home opener and save $10 per ticket. Visit rhinosoccer.com or call 454-KICK for more information. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of BigAppleSoccer.com and Tropigol.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
And our U.S. Soccer Report brought to you by Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Common in Pittsford. Number to call is 248-2650 or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. U.S. Soccer's friendlies will be kicking off in a couple weeks. U.S. Men's National Team, get your U.S. Soccer gear at Top Notch Monogramming if you have need for embroidery for, you know, spring sports are right around the corner. No snow on the ground. Get your embroidery for your bags and your uniforms and your towels, etc. at Top Notch Monogramming. And Tony and Michelle take great care of you. They are top notch. Michael, how are things going out in beautiful, sunny Southern California?
Well, it's a lot warmer out here than it is back home, no matter where you are in New York State. Whether it's up there near Lake Ontario or near my home on Long Island. But a lot of soccer news and action over the past week, more than I could shake a stick at.
Well, at the start of the show, Michael, we talked about Ron Broadbent, and we're, again, very proud that he won the highest honor from the National Soccer Coaches Association over the weekend. And we're somebody who was from Brockport, coached at Spencerport High School for many years, coached at the SUNY Brockport. And you had a story on BigAppleSoccer.com about the first soccer match you ever covered for the Democratic Chronicle involved Ron Broadbent.
Well, it was actually the first championship soccer match I ever covered.
Okay.
I was covering high schools at the time. I was about 4 months out of into my new job. And I had covering the City Catholic League at the time, but also we'd switch off, and they had me cover some soccer tournament games in the Section 5 competition. And I remember the game against definitely the two best teams in Monroe County, so all of Section 5, Spencerport and Penfield. George Stites was the Penfield coach. I remember him because he would bring in a totally new team, or not, if not totally, but he'd bring in his basketball team on corner kicks. Remember, it's substitution, so he definitely used a lot of athletes. So anyway, the game wound up 1-0, a victory for Spencerport. That was the Rangers' fifth title in a row. And the goal was a controversial goal.
Rick Kincaid ran into the Penfield goalkeeper. And the ball, he wound up getting a loose ball and kicked it home for the lone goal. Obviously, Penfield thought there was a foul. Spencer Port didn't. A few days later, Ron invited me over to the school to watch film of the game. Now, for everyone who is listening to the show tonight, this is way, way before anyone ever dreamt of the internet. Videotape at games was unheard of, or at least at high school games was unheard of. So Ron had game film, and we kept on replaying the goal again and again and again, the play that led to the goal as well, too. I don't think Rick Kincaid tried to run the goalkeeper, but on purpose, but it looked like a foul to me, but it was after the fact. But I appreciated Ron, what he did, showing me this play again and again and again. And you have to remember, with film, this is a projector. This is not an internet where you could just hit a couple buttons and you could replay it. You had to, like, go rewind and go back again, and it was a meticulous process. But Ron showed me a lot that day, and I wound up covering him in a few more soccer games, covered him at Brockport College as well, too. And through the ensuing years, we kept on seeing each other at various NCAA conventions, and we got to know each other even more so. But just a memorable time for a 22-year-old sports writer that day. I remember that day in that I covered the soccer game. I believe it was 10 o'clock in the morning, went back to the DNC, used typewriters to write my yeah. story, left the story on the desk, and went out to cover an East Rochester football game. But a lot of wow. interesting times. I'm sorry for the long story there.
That's okay. This shows all the great history we have in this area for soccer and what he did. And we're going to hope to try to get Ron on our show next week to talk about this award. It is a singular award. It's going given out once a year by the Coaches Association. So it's a great honor, and you know, we're very proud of Ron, and he represents upstate New York and the Rochester area. So speaking of also Rochester, Michael, you're covering the situation with Paul Riley and the North Carolina Courage. Hurts me to say that, North Carolina Courage. But since Paul is from Long Island and you've been keeping track of what's going on with him, what's the latest on him potentially staying on as the coach?
I wish I could have. I had something from today. I had spoken to Paul last week at the draft and asked him his situation because, you know, sometimes new owners, new general managers, perhaps wants a new coach. And at the time, he told me he was negotiating to become coach of the North Carolina Courage. And he was optimistic that a deal could be done. Obviously, last year, when Paul coached the Flash, he went home to New York for like a day or two during the week to be closer to his family. This is something that obviously he'd want to probably put into the deal to do on a regular basis from North Carolina. I asked him about the flights from how they compare from New York to Rochester as opposed to New York to Carolina, and Paul said they were only 20 minutes more to Carolina. So that's the last I heard, but he sounded fairly optimistic. Quite frankly, from just a pure sporting standpoint, I think he deserves to coach the team again. He won the national title, and I think the players improved under him. They played for him. I just think any coach that has directed a team to a national championship deserves to coach again that team. Saying that, as I said, new team, new ownership. We'll see what happens.
Well, last week, Mike, when we talked to the owners of the North Carolina team, we asked them, we came right out and asked them, and they said that he leaned, the way he told us, he leaned toward having having Paul being the coach. He said they were in negotiation, but again, I have to concur with you because he knows the players, he knows everything, he knows who they are. So it would be stupid if they didn't hire him, at least for the first year.
It's all about logistics, I think. That's because he doesn't want to move from Long Island, where he has a business there, he has his family there, and it's tough. So I think that's what it comes down to. Does Paul want to go to Carolina to be the coach? And we'll see. It's going to be, hopefully we'll find out in the near future. But Michael, out in L.A., though, you've got a lot of things going on. Most notably is the men's national team camp, and there's a lot of players in there who have not been on the team before. And, of course, Bruce Arena's brought in some players. And also, we have, our good friend Dave Sarakin, who unfortunately I guess you haven't been able to talk to, but it's certainly an interesting camp with all the new faces. What have you seen?
Well, first of all, I'll talk about the Dave Sarakin issue. I did talk to him. I said, hello, how are you? Very little small talk. Unfortunately, team policy at the moment, we are only allowed to talk to the head coach, not any of his assistants. That's his life. Don't like it necessarily, but I can't do an end run because they'll know what I'm going to be doing. I don't think Dave would do that as well. So hopefully the policy will change as we go along, but that's the new policy under Bruce Arena. This team seems to be a lot more relaxed than the one that Jürgen Klinsmann directed or coached. And, yes, it's a new coach, new system. It's someone who has respect in the U.S. soccer community, which is a big deal. And I don't think Bruce Arena is putting any pressure on any player to win a position this early in camp. I was at practice the first day, and all they were doing were drills, you know, one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, stretching, that sort of thing. I was there yesterday, so a few drills before a scrimmage where they got all the players in. Slowly but surely, it's coming, you know, the team is coming together. I think Bruce wants to build team unity. He doesn't want to really rock the boat, at least not this early on. I think as we get closer to those two friendlies at the end of this month and early February, things might get a little tenser. And obviously as we get toward the two World Cup qualifying matches, March 24th against Honduras and March 28th against Panama, things will get a lot more tense. But I just think it's definitely a different atmosphere there. I think the players are hopeful that they'll maybe be a little more respected by their coach. In that, you know, Klinsmann tinkered with the lineup too much and it was maybe very, very inflexible. And Bruce Arena, even though he can crack the whip, I think he's mellowed with his age, and I think sometimes he lets his reputation lead the way, too. And you can't argue with what Bruce Arena has accomplished as a coach.
And, of course, the women's camp is underway as well, and you've got a nice article in Newsday about Crystal Dunn moving over to Chelsea. And, of course, Alex Morgan's already over in France playing club soccer there. What's going on with the women?
I wish I could tell you more about that because I really just have not been able to spend any extensive time with the women's team. I feel for the last week I've been a kid locked in a candy store. There's been so much happening here, and between MLS Combine, MLS Draft, and WSL Draft, U.S. Men's National Team, I have not been able, and a few other functions I had to go to, unfortunately, I've not been able to spend as much time as I'd like to with the women. I know Jill Ellis is trying to start rebuilding the team toward 2019, where the Women's World Cup will be played in France. This year is, I think, a year where she'll be allowed to tinker. And you might say, well, how come I could say she's allowed to tinker and Jürgen Klinsmann isn't? Well, she's got a few years, you know, before the next Women's World Cup. And there are going to be players who are getting a little old, might be maybe a little past their prime, come 2019, and it's time to vet some new players. So don't be surprised if you see some new faces on the field playing even more so this year. And
like Lynn Williams.
That I can understand. When you win a women's world championship, you have some money to play with, as they like to say in Vegas. So I'm not worried about the U.S. women as much as I am about the U.S. men, for obvious reasons.
One last thing before we go, Michael. I just want to mention, last week we talked about the unfortunate passing of Roberto Cabanas, who played for the New York Cosmos in the North American Soccer League and played for Paraguay in the World Cup. Another member of the Cosmos passed away last week. The thing's coming in threes. Hopefully it's not going to be a third one. But Francois Vanderels, a great, great player from Belgium, played here in America for the Cosmos in 1980, played here in Rochester. He passed away over the past week. And what a talented player he was. He was a beautiful a midfielder, beautiful player to watch on the ball.
It's funny. I come back in from the U.S. National Camp last Wednesday, and my wife texted me, Francois Vanderels passes away, has died, and I was like stunned. Double checked it on the internet, of course. Nothing against using my wife as a source, but I am a professional. I was stunned. What I remember most about Vanderels, a very quality player, an elegant player too. He could put the ball on a dime for many, many a teammate, and he could put the ball in the back of the net. And it's so mind-boggling. It's tough enough to have one great legend go well before his time, but to have two within a period of 48 hours from the same team, and from the same organization, but they also played on the same team. They played a couple of years together, and that's just mind-boggling. It really, really is. And two great legends of the game. Cabanas also was revered in his native Paraguay, and Vanderels in Belgium as well too. It's almost incomprehensible. I don't recall very many times this has happened to American soccer, where you had two former players from the same championship team pass away within days of one another. It might have happened elsewhere,
sad.
Perhaps. It seems like it's always happened elsewhere in soccer somewhere, but it's just mind-boggling. And just my condolences to the friends and family of Roberto Cabanas and Francois Vanderels, two great, excellent players, and gentlemen off the field as well.
Thank you for those comments. We really appreciate. I mean, we're going to hopefully, we'll talk more about this next week and the other news you've got. But we have to go to we have a final break before the show ends. So, Michael, thank you so much. Have a great, safe trip back from California. We'll talk to you next Monday from New York.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Have a good one, huh? Keep warm.
Thanks, Michael.
You too, Mike.
Michael Lewis here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We'll wrap it up next here on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Really fine.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of your choice auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Looking to save money on your weekly grocery bill? Visit Olindo's Cash and Carry at 1510 Lyle Avenue in Rochester. Olindo's provides Italian and Spanish items, imported and domestic cheeses, deli meats, and homegrown produce with a perfect blend of quality, selection, value, and personal service. Olindo's wholesale prices are the best around, and there's no membership fee. Call Olindo's at 647-1985 or visit them on the web at olindofoodservice.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And back here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. That'll do it for our show tonight. I want to thank, of course, Dick Howard in Toronto, Michael Lewis in L.A., and Bob D'Angelo in the control room at WISL. And of course, my esteemed host, Joe Sirianni. Be with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Buonanotte.
Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos, top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Faber Homes, Claridge Design Center, Olindo's, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.